Hi, welcome to In Search of Insight, Nootropics Depot's monthly podcast. I'm your podcast host, Erica, and sitting next to me is our product specialist at Nootropics Depot, Emil.
Hey, everyone.
This month, Emil and I are going to be telling you about Systemax. That's our new Systanch stack, which has three different types of Systanch extracts, and Emil is going to tell you a little bit about them before we jump into the body of the podcast.
Absolutely. So the three different extracts that we have, one of them actually isn't an extract, so there's two extracts and just one full-spectrum non-extracted Systanch, but still standardized to a fairly high amount of bioactive, so 5% echinacoside and 1% acetoside, or sometimes called verbascoside. If you compare that to our very potent Systanch extract that we've been selling for years, that is 50% echinacoside and 10% acetoside. So the full spectrum, the non-extract, just the raw plant material that we have in there, actually is only 10 times less potent than the extract, which is really impressive because we hadn't really found any full spectrum Systanches that had such a high level of bioactives. But that made it really interesting to play around with. And we actually did release that as a standalone product. So that's this one. And we've been playing around with it for the last couple of days, mega-dosing this one a little bit. And we've been out of Systemax. Systemax is our daily Systanch supplement. We've been taking it ever since we came out with it a couple of months ago. And actually, even before that, during beta testing. And before that, we were taking our normal Systanch extract, the 50% echinacoside, 10% acetoside, which is a water ethanol extract. And I think that works fantastically.
For any of you who aren't familiar with Systanch or who are new and curious about getting started taking Systanch as a supplement, we've been taking it for muscle building, for a mood boost. It can have some nice benefits for focus in my experience. But in general, it's really good for fitness. It's really good for muscle building. And it will clearly then have some androgenic and hormonal effects as well.
And where it shines the most for me is perhaps in its mood elevating properties and in its gut intestinal modulating effects. So we'll talk about all of those mechanisms a little bit later, but there's a lot going on with Systanch. It has effects on metabolic health and testosterone production, which is, of course, one of the main benefits of Systanch and why a lot of you are probably interested in it. But there's a lot more going on. And one of those is that it seems to enhance growth hormone release. And I think we dialed that in with our Systemax. We can't prove this with any type of clinical data showing that it enhances growth hormone more, but it really increases hunger. And hunger is related to how Systanch can increase growth hormone release, which is by acting on the ghrelin receptors throughout the gut. But again, that's something we'll talk about later. Now let's focus a little bit more on the formulation. And actually, before we go any further, we are going to be doing slightly shorter format podcasts, which is also why we're ramming straight into this topic instead of waffling around and having a nice introduction. This is going to straight to the point. And with that in mind, we do actually have to get to beta testing, or not yes. beta testing, taking it on the podcast so you can see if any interesting effects pop up.
So what's the normal dose for Systemax if I were to take it on an everyday basis?
The normal dose is just a single capsule, which is what you take, which is what I take. That's just the normal dose. We actually haven't really gone above that. I think I've maybe taken a double dose of it, which was nice, definitely a little bit more pronounced than just a single capsule dose. Yesterday, we were mega-dosing the non-extracted Systanch, which was actually really nice and surprised me, because the non-extracted Systanch at 4 capsules, which still wouldn't be delivering as much echinacoside and acetoside as our normal extract that we've carried for years, it felt stronger in terms of its mood-boosting effects. It was quite pronounced. And actually later in the day, I maybe for the first time ever had some of that lethargy induced by Systanch, which some people talk about. So it might be a really interesting one to explore before sleep, especially now I've joined all of you with a sleep tracker. So now I can also tell you some data on my sleep.
You were saying that your watch told you had the most restorative sleep that you've had since starting to track it. So far. So that could be due to the Systanch.
And that was last night, so it could have something to do. That's a good point. I'm not even really... I'm still getting used to the watch and the tracking and all of that and seeing what I can do with the data. But you're right, I wasn't even thinking about that, but I might have logged my first result. My heart rate variance, HRV, also seemed to be a little bit up, but I haven't worn the watch long enough to have my baseline HRV established. So we'll see later if any of these supplements end up affecting things like HRV, pulse oxygen, VO2 max, sleep, recovery, all of those things, which this watch can apparently track, which is quite interesting. But anyways,
getting back to just the non-extracted substances for a second, I also megadosed it yesterday, but I was thinking to myself, I wonder if this non-extracted substance has similar appetite increasing effects for other people, because I found it to actually be slightly appetite reducing. It could have also been the activities I was doing, the fact that I was kind of focused, I was away from home, but I found it to be good for focus, good for mood. I didn't get as hungry as I normally would. I did sleep really well. So those were just a couple of my kind of first impressions after taking the megadose of the non-extracted substance, which is in Systemax that we're going to take right now in a slightly higher dose than normal.
And one thing to keep in mind here is, since we're in the Netherlands, sometimes it takes a little while to get new product shipments, as many of you other Europeans might be able to relate to. So we've been out of Systemax for, I believe, almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We ran out, and then it took me a little while to order, and then one of my orders got stuck at the border, so it took a little while to get it. So we actually haven't taken Systemax in about 2 weeks. We hadn't taken any Systange for about 2 weeks until we took 2 days, a double dose of this one, and then yesterday, a megadose of this one, which felt really nice. I haven't gone that high with the non-extracted Systange, and I haven't gone that high with the non-extracted Systange after not having tried Systange for quite a while, because for, I would say, the last 3 to 4 years, we've been taking Systange basically every day.
Yeah.
So this is one of the first times where we had like a pretty big washout period. So I'm curious to see what happens with Systemax, because like Erica was saying about the hunger stimulating or potentially appetite suppressing effects, with the normal Systange extract, it seemed to be pretty split. Some people had enhanced appetite from it, some people had reduced appetite from it, some people like myself, and also you, I think, we never really noticed an effect on appetite.
Not a whole lot. Not compared to, like, cyanidin-3-glucoside, for example.
Which makes both of us really hungry. But Systemax makes me extremely hungry. When I first try it for the first week or two, it makes me very hungry. And then that effect diminishes. And that's probably, that's kind of where we're getting this potentially enhanced growth hormone mechanism from, because Systange seems to be doing that through the ghrelin receptor. That's how it releases the growth hormone. But the ghrelin receptor is also really important for appetite. So if you stimulate the ghrelin receptor, your appetite goes up. So in our opinion, if Systemax for some reason is producing way more hunger than any of the other Systange extracts, then potentially that's because of the ghrelin mechanism. And that's why we've been saying, kind of on the down low, that Systemax might enhance growth hormone output a little bit more than other Systange extracts, but we don't know that for sure. We're basing that on some anecdotal data. But now let's go into this. I am going to just go straight up, really high, Joe Cohen style. I'm just going to do 4 capsules, quadruple the normal dose, after not having taken it for a while. If I'm going to notice a significant effect with Systange, it's going to be now. And I always do. It's something I'm very familiar with, so I'm curious to explore a higher dose.
I'm going to take just a double dose, because I've noticed that when I microdose...
So two for Erica.
Megadose supplements, especially stimulating supplements, sometimes I don't experience that feeling at all. In fact, that super mega dose can actually make me feel a little bit tired, and I would like to detect a little bit of that stimulation, a little bit of that energy boost. So I'm just going to go for 2 capsules this time.
And I'm going to go for 4 capsules. If there you go. This could be a nice caption.
Okay, so cheers to Systemax.
Boop. And with our previous podcast, and that's where Erica is getting some of the stimulation or tiredness effect mm-hmm. from, was Tribugen, where we tried double the dose of Tribugen, which I was a little bit nervous about because Tribugen at the full dose is really strong. And that's also why I didn't quadruple dose Tribugen, which I'm kind of glad we didn't, because Tribugen at that dose initially produced quite a bit of stimulation for me. I think I said it at one point during the podcast that, whoa, something is happening. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it stayed like that for 20 or 30 minutes. And then it started to go into a bit more of a relaxing effect. And because that was a shorter podcast, you didn't see the entire duration of those that effects profile. But after we stopped filming, we were both pretty tired.
Yes.
Which I still felt in a great mood. Everything was nice, but I didn't have that classic Tribugen stimulation.
Me neither. I felt a little bit sleepy at one point right after the onset of the Tribugen. And then it just kind of dissipated a little bit until a certain point where I felt nice and relaxed. And that was about at the end of the podcast. But I remember after we were finished filming the podcast, feeling quite tired. So mm-hmm. that was a completely left field experience. I was expecting to feel super stimulated and a little bit on edge maybe, but I actually felt the opposite. And this can happen too. I'm not really sure why, but it could also be just the mindset, the situation that we're taking that megadose, mm-hmm. And the fact that after the podcast was over, that was kind of our task, our goal. And then we didn't have more like external stimulus. So sometimes that can change how mm-hmm. I perceive my energy levels or how I perceive something that's stimulating. But I'm curious to see if we experience something different also mm-hmm. between the two of us today because we're taking different doses.
Yeah, and we generally respond pretty differently. But it will be that's interesting true. To see two different dose levels mm-hmm. and to see what the dose response curve is because yeah. we've basically only ever really explored the recommended dose, which, by the way, just take the recommended dose. There's probably no reason to take quadruple the dose of probably one of the strongest Sustange products on the market. So let's see what happens. This is one I'm not necessarily that nervous about compared to with Tribugen, just because Tribugen, it's a little bit unpredictable what the dosage do, because if I take a single capsule of Tribugen, it's actually also really stimulating. The double capsule, just the normal dose, is very stimulating, but then at four capsules something strange happens and it gets a bit more calming. I've noticed it with varying doses of Dioscorea and Nipponica. I think that's where it's coming from, because Dioscorea is pretty calming, and at the escalating dosages that we experienced with Tribugen, we got a lot of Dioscorea and Nipponica, which might have overridden a lot of the other effects going on. Here we have potentially something similar going on because there's quite a bit in the Systemax stack.
It's not just Systanch. So we mm-hmm. mentioned earlier those three different elements, those three different Systanch elements, two of them being extracts and one of them being just Systanch, non-extracted. Mm-hmm. But there's also Shilajit.
There's some Shilajit in there.
Which is going to add to some of the mood boosting elements.
Partially some of the moon boosting elements. That's something that Shilajit is oftentimes used for. But the real reason it's in there, and now we have to quickly talk about some of the mechanisms of effects with Systanch. So one of the reasons why we like Systanch so much is because it boosts the steroidogenic enzymes. And the steroidogenic enzymes are very important for a process called steroidogenesis, in which we take cholesterol, turn it into pregnenolone, turn it into a bunch of different steroid hormones, and eventually that synthesizes testosterone, kind of at the end of that cycle. So if we can enhance the process of steroidogenesis, we could enhance the process of testosterone synthesis.
Therefore, it makes sense that this would be a supplement that you're taking if you're looking to build muscle, mm-hmm. gain some more vitality, energy, motivation, all these kinds of androgenic type of effects that you might be looking for.
Correct. And Shilajit also happens to enhance steroidogenesis very well, and at slightly different points of the steroidogenic enzyme cycle. So we find that really interesting because there's research on Shilajit and its effects on steroidogenesis and its effects on enhancing DHEA levels and testosterone levels, and there's research on the echinacoside and actinoside doing a very similar thing, or Sustanch as a whole doing a very similar thing. So that was one way to boost the steroidogenic enzyme effects without having to further boost the level of Sustanch, which we could obviously keep boosting the level of Sustanch, but there are other effects associated with Shilajit which could have a beneficial overall effect on the effects profile of Sustanch. And part of that is that Primavi Shilajit, for a lot of people, is a bit mood boosting. It has a nice effect on cellular energy, mitochondrial health, those sort of things. So we find that it has a really synergistic effect, just generally speaking, with Sustanch, and especially when we consider the steroidogenic enzymes. So that's why it's in there.
Another one of the elements of Systemax, which is in the similar line of steroid benefits, is pregnenolone.
Yeah, and like I said, with steroidogenesis, you're starting with cholesterol. Cholesterol is then converting to pregnenolone, and pregnenolone is then what drives the rest of steroidogenesis. Mm. So if you add a little bit of extra pregnenolone and you're boosting the steroidogenic enzymes, then in theory, you should be able to further maximize the testosterone output that you're getting from Sustanch. But it might also help balance some of the overall hormonal effects, and it adds to the mood-boosting effect. So we both really like pregnenolone just for its mood-boosting effect. A lot of people like pregnenolone for that effect, and it fits really well with the mood-boosting potential of Sustanch. And then to add to that, we also put in some DHEA. So pregnenolone is higher up in the steroidogenic enzyme, like right at the top, and DHEA is kind of in the middle, but it's also important. And pregnenolone eventually turns into DHEA, and pregnenolone also turns into other things like allopregnenolone, pregnenolone sulfate, some of these things that are not having an effect on overall steroid synthesis. So having something a little bit higher up in the pathway and a little bit further down in the pathway ensures that we have two basically streams where we can enhance, well, now four different ways in which we can enhance the process of steroidogenesis. One with Sustanch, two with Shilajit, and then three with pregnenolone, and then four with DHEA, all of which are acting on the steroidogenic enzyme pathways. And that was really the idea behind Systemax, was how can we fully optimize this steroidogenic enzyme pathway. This is especially thinking about combining eventually Systemax with the equivalent that we're working on for Tangadali. So Tangadali is working through a very different mechanism. Sustanch is mainly working through that steroidogenic enzyme mechanism and the luteinizing hormone mechanism, both of which are going to be synergistic with Tangadali. So in general, you can already start taking Systemax with Tangadali 2% or 10%, and you would have a very nice synergistic effect. Once we eventually come out with our optimized Tangad stack, that will be the best thing to stack together with Systemax. But that's really how, with Systemax, we had a specific goal in mind, and that goal was to enhance the steroidogenic enzyme activity. And with Tangad, it's going to be driving as much testosterone synthesis as possible, and those two are going to fit together perfectly. So a lot of people have also asked, when are you going to come out with your testosterone enhancing stack? And we could do that, but think about this. Once we have our optimized Tangad and Systemax, if you combine those, you're probably going to have the best overall testosterone booster on the market with no drawbacks, because if we do a complete overall testosterone enhancing stack, it's either going to be extremely expensive and lots of different capsules, or we're going to have to compromise and keep the cost down, make sure that it fits in one or two capsules and not four capsules, for example. But with a little bit more of a modular system, which is really how Nootropics Depot is set up, in my opinion, you can combine different things, and we're keeping that in mind. So that's definitely something we're keeping in mind in the future with Systemax. It's going to be modular with other extracts. But that brings us back to Systemax and this megadose we just took. I'm not feeling anything, but it's been about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm not feeling a whole lot. I do think I I'm starting to feel maybe a slight bit of focus enhancing or mood boosting effect.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting a little bit of a calming effect. There's definitely been a gaping hole in our stack, mm-hmm. in my opinion. My mood has not been that good. When we tried the doses of the non-extracted Sistange, I definitely had a little bit more of that mood boost, so we've been getting used to it. But I'm assuming it's going to be pretty strong with this quadruple dose of Sistange. But once it starts kicking in, especially if you've become used to it over a couple of months, or a couple of years, it does have a very distinct mood boosting effect.
And that could also be coming from the fact that it's good for your gut. And I find that Sistange, when I first started taking it, this was a few years ago, I remember having a really big shift in just my daily gut discomfort. So I was feeling a lot more relief in general. I think my digestion was more normal, and I wasn't feeling quite as sensitive, even if and when I was getting hungry, as I was before taking Sistange. So overall, it kind of balanced out that sort of extreme sensation that I was having in my gut. And I think this is a part of gut health. Of course, there's way more to gut health than just how you feel, but I do think that our stomach says a lot about our mood, it says a lot about our hunger, and just our general mental state. And I think that this is a really big and beneficial element of Sistange. I've certainly experienced that from the beginning, and I experience that still.
Yeah, Sistange has, and there's quite a bit of research on this too, so Sistange has some really beneficial gut health effects. That's personally why I really like Sistange, because we always try to put as many things in our stack as possible that have a beneficial effect on overall gut health, because that seems to help both of us with many aspects of life. But I think the better your gut microbiome works, the better your brain is working through that gut-brain axis. And if you look up some of the research behind Sistange, you see that it has mood-boosting properties through its gut microbiome modulating effects. And one of the things that it seems to do really well is increase the production of short-chain fatty acids, SCFAs, if you've ever seen those in studies. One of the big ones is butyrate. Butyrate has some really beneficial effects throughout the body. And that's what you're getting from a lot of those gut microbiota. They're able to generate butyrate. And Sistange tubulosa seems to be able to enhance their ability to produce butyrate. And this is partially because of the polysaccharides that are in Sistange that can be munched on by all of these different gut bacteria. And when they're munching through these polysaccharides, that's what they're producing butyrate from. A similar thing happens when you take beta-glucans from, for example, Mushroom Magic Matcha. There's a bunch of beta-glucans in there. Those beta-glucans are also going to be able to be turned into butyrate by our gut microbiota. So this is a nice ecosystem if you're also taking Mushroom Magic Matcha or some of the mushrooms, and now you're also getting these unique polysaccharides from Sistange. Then you're getting this overall prebiotic effect, and this prebiotic effect that might be driving more butyrate synthesis, which is really interesting. However, those effects will probably take a while to kick in. So the initial effects that we're feeling, mm-hmm. that are maybe a bit uplifting, a little bit stimulating, or a bit calming, those are likely not going to be coming through as much gut microbiota modulation. That mood-boosting effect is probably going to take a little while.
Okay.
So there is a lot of different things that Sistange seems to do. It is a very promiscuous. We've had a funny conversation about this recently. In science, you can also use the word promiscuous. So it goes around to lots of different receptors. It's not very selective. It hits a lot of different pathways, BDNF type pathways, even NGF type pathways. So there's some of these effects that we're finding in lion's mane, we're also finding in Sistange tubulosa, which is really interesting. It has beneficial effects on serotonin and noradrenaline levels, and that might actually be coming through the ghrelin mechanism, because if you activate ghrelin receptors, you actually end up seeing an increase in mood, and you're seeing an increase sometimes in serotonin and noradrenaline levels. So that's really interesting. And if you look at the overall big picture of Sistange tubulosa, it does seem to enhance a lot of those monoamine neurotransmitters, it does seem to drive neuroplasticity, and it's rebalancing our gut microbiota and having these effects on the gut-brain axis. which is really interesting. The complete picture makes it a very versatile supplement.
It's a lot more than just hormone support.
And, of course, the hormones play a huge role in mood, so those are important, too. Mm-hmm. And again, the hormonal effects are going to take a little while to kick in. So if you notice a mood-boosting effect in us, or if we tell you that we're having a mood-boosting effect very quickly, then it's likely because of a direct mechanism these compounds are having in our brain. Mm. And it's interesting to note that, and this might be why some of you are getting very pronounced stimulation with Systange and why some of you aren't. I personally don't get a huge amount of stimulation from solidrosol or rhodiola rosea, do you?
Rhodiola rosea, for sure. Solidrosol, not so much.
But some people have an extremely stimulating effect with solidrosol. And solidrosol contains solidrosite and tyrosol. And if you look at Systange tubulosa, Systange tubulosa actually contains solidrosite too. Because solidrosite, like echinacoside and ctiocide, or verbascoside, they are all phenethanol glycosides. So they're all in this similar group of compounds. And actually, echinacoside and ctiocide contain hydroxytyrosol. So slightly different than the tyrosol that's in solidrosol, but a similar type of compound with potentially similar effects and a very small content, and sometimes a fairly pronounced content of solidrosol. We haven't ever checked for that actually in our extract, but it might be interesting because we have solidrosol methods. So we could test for it. We have the reference standard. So that's maybe something we do at one point. But that might be where some of the stimulation is coming from, especially when you consider that echinacoside and ctiocide likely are going to become deglycosylated in the gut. So the interesting thing about those two compounds is that you have caffeic acid, a couple of sugars, and Erica can probably put...
Yes, let's make a little bit of space.
Do echinacoside first.
Okay.
So right now we should probably have echinacoside in between us. So you see those two compounds at the end. One is caffeic acid, one is hydroxytyrosol, and then you have three sugar groups. Now if you move over to ctiocide, or acetoside, or verbascoside, I really don't know why there's three names for this compound.
I'll also label it so it's very clear.
Yeah. We call it acetoside. So let's stay consistent with that. Acetoside. And what you can see there, same thing. The caffeic acid is the same, hydroxytyrosol is the same, and now you have two sugar groups. So echinacoside actually turns into acetoside, because if that little sugar group, if you flash echinacoside again here, you have that third sugar group, and now flash acetoside again, now you lose that third sugar group. They're very similar. And most compounds, when they go through metabolism, they end up losing those sugar groups. They end up getting hydrolyzed. They end up interacting with gut microbiota. And that's also one of the things. The gut microbiota can munch on these sugar groups on glycosylated compounds. And those glycosylated compounds might actually be having a prebiotic effect like that too. But while they're doing that, they're breaking those sugar bonds. And then you're liberating caffeic acid and hydroxytyrosol, which is quite interesting. But this is where things start getting a little bit tricky, because normally we consider these glycosides to be too big to passively diffuse across membranes. So is it really going to have much of an effect? Well, first of all, the ghrelin receptors that we've been talking about are in our gut, and these compounds seem to slot directly into these ghrelin receptors throughout the gut, throughout the gastrointestinal system, and that's how it seems to have its appetite-stimulating and growth hormone-inducing effect. So you don't really need it to absorb in total circulation. But they do seem to absorb fairly well, but they seem to absorb through a transporter, the sodium-dependent glucose transporter 1, SGLT1. And this transporter also transports glucose. And there's this interesting effect with Systange tubulosa that you see a lowering of glucose, blood glucose levels. So this has a very nice metabolic effect, but they never really knew exactly where this was coming from with Systange. What they think now is that Systange, the echinacoside and ctiocide in Systange, absorb through this SGLT1 transporter, which will then have a competitive effect with glucose. So glucose is going to go through that transporter, but if you're now occupying that transporter with echinacoside, an echinacoside, acetoside, then you're preventing glucose from being absorbed, and thereby you're lowering blood glucose levels, which is really interesting. But if you give a compound called phenacetine, I'm blanking on the name, but it blocks the SGLT1 transporter. If you give that compound together with echinacoside and acetoside, then you see less absorption of echinacoside and acetoside because you're blocking that SGLT1 transporter. But echinacoside and acetoside themselves seem to be inhibitors of the SGLT1 transporter. So they themselves seem to be able to limit their absorption. Now there's some interesting... And so if you administer pure echinacoside, you see very, very small amounts of absorption, about 0.83% according to one study. With acetoside, it's even a little bit lower. Even though it's a smaller compound, it might be able to actually absorb better. What they found, though, is that if you administer just crude Sustange tubulosa extract that has all of the polysaccharides and other compounds together with a known quantity of echinacoside and acetoside, then echinacoside and acetoside absorb better. So there's one research study that is proposing that perhaps some of the other compounds in Sustange tubulosa that are not echinacoside and acetoside are responsible for enhancing that transport mechanism at the SGLT1 transporter. So all of the other compounds are increasing potentially the activity of SGLT1, and then that's allowing more echinacoside and acetoside to absorb, and they actually did find this. So that's quite interesting.
Absolutely.
And begs the question, some of these glycoside compounds might actually be absorbing through these glucose-dependent transporters, might be competing with glucose. That might also indicate that you actually want to take these on an empty stomach. So, Sustange tubulosa, maybe if you consume that... Oh, also, now I'm really starting to feel something.
I'm definitely starting to feel something, too.
It was so strong, it distracted me for a second.
What did you feel?
Like a lightness.
Mm.
My body feels a bit lighter.
Yeah.
I feel, yeah, definitely a mood lift. Like it feels as if I'm sitting in the sun. That's kind of the effect I'm getting. And it was such a abrupt shift that it kind of distracted me. So do you remember what I was talking about?
Well, you were talking about why it's good to perhaps take Systemax on an empty stomach because of its glucose effect.
Yes, because glucose and, well, there's two sides to this story. If you want to actually lower the amount of glucose that you're absorbing from a meal for its metabolic effects, then you would actually want to consume Sustange together with a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actives in Sustange are going to make it harder for glucose to absorb, which could be a good thing. On the other hand, if one of the reasons that echinacoside and acetoside are inhibiting glucose uptake because it's a competitive mechanism, so basically echinacoside and acetoside are inhibiting that transporter, more so they're just occupying that transporter so nothing else can go in. We always like to talk about this in the sense of like an elevator. If an elevator touches down on the ground floor and 20 people can come in, but there's 25 people waiting, that means 20 people are going to get a ride and 5 people are going to have to wait for the next elevator or transporter to come. So similar here, if the elevator is completely filled up with very aggressive echinacoside and acetoside and they're telling that glucose molecule to get lost, then you will see less absorption of glucose, and that might be one of the ways in which Sustange is having a good metabolic effect. But it might also be regulating its own absorption through this mechanism. And if you're consuming it with glucose, then you have this competition of the glucose there too, which is glucose then also inhibiting the transporter or the transport of these compounds in Sustanche. It's kind of interesting to think about. And are maybe some of these other polysaccharides in Sustanche having an effect on this transporter where it's increasing the activity of the transporter somehow? And again, this is very theoretical. It's being brought up in fairly recent studies, but it would help explain some of the absorption mechanisms of Sustanche. And with that in mind, this is one of the reasons why we put non-extracted Sustanche in Systemax. One, because, and now we can start flashing some of our very nice looking chromatograms. And interesting, these effects are definitely coming in waves. This is definitely a strong effect at four capsules. So let's move to the side a little bit again.
Give
so
a little space.
You can put some chromatograms up. So let's start with a chromatogram actually of our just normal Sustanche extract. As you can see, it's quite neat. There's just a few peaks. Two peaks basically with a bit of noise around it. Those two peaks being echinacoside and acetoside in very high amounts. 60% of the extract is these two compounds. So it makes sense that you just see these two big peaks and not a whole lot else. So yeah, that then results in just these two peaks. That's the majority of the extract. There's not a whole lot else going on in there. Of course, you have some polysaccharides here and there. And keep in mind, while we're looking at these chromatograms are showing a snapshot of a bunch of compounds that are related to each other. So we're not seeing everything that's in Sustanche. These methods and extracting the botanicals into a solvent that we can then inject into the UPLC, I believe, is what we're using here. The UPLC, I think, that we're using here, it's going to not extract every single compound. And it's not going to give you a picture of everything that's in there with the runtime. So you can see down below in the x-axis that's time. So you can see, I think we're cutting it off at 12 minutes or so for Sustanche, or 10, something like that. Maybe if we continued the run or we changed our methods, you might see a lot more little peaks going on in that area. But so keep in mind, these peaks that you're seeing, they're all fairly related compounds. That's why echinacoside and acetoside are so close together, because really the only difference between them is that sugar group. Okay, so now if we go from there, this chromatogram of the 50% echinacoside, 10% acetoside extract, and now let's go to something completely different, and we're going to go to our full spectrum non-extracted. So that should be up now. And what you see here is similar, those two peaks, the echinacoside and the acetoside, but you're also seeing more little peaks. And you're seeing kind of this, the two peaks of echinacoside and acetoside, they're sitting kind of on a mound, and they're stacked on top of each other. And that indicates to me and to Paul and to the other people on our team that there is a little bit more bioactive diversity in the range that we're looking at. So there's going to be way more. There's going to be way more polysaccharides that we're not testing for, lipids, volatiles, all of these kind of things that are not going to show up in this chromatogram. Even then, you're seeing a higher diversity of compounds there. So that's interesting. You're seeing much lower levels of echinacoside and acetoside. Obviously, it's not an extract, but you're still seeing pretty high amounts. And because we're not extracting, it means we're not getting rid of anything. So everything is still there. All of these polysaccharides are still there, which really helps us, because in this study with pure echinacoside and pure acetoside, when they combined echinacoside and acetoside with a extract, so this wasn't just straight Sustanche tubulosa powder material, it was still an extract. I think that was 30% echinacoside, so probably not a whole lot of other compounds in there. It's quite selective towards echinacoside and acetoside, but you would still have more diversity than if you just had pure echinacoside or pure acetoside. But what's interesting in that study is that they saw enhanced absorption. So, but they also don't know what compound that's being produced from. So in that scenario, we're in a bit of a pickle, because we can't necessarily target something. But we can be relatively sure that if we include those other compounds that maybe otherwise we're losing, then we could enhance absorption. So that's one of the reasons that we have non-extracted cystantin there. Another reason is that we just know there's going to be more polysaccharides in there. And the interesting thing about those polysaccharides is that they could have a beneficial effect on our gut microbiota. Additionally, because those polysaccharides can act as a fuel for the microbiota and basically feed them, which is what also starches and things like that do. So definitely eat your veggies and your mushrooms, because you're getting basically fuel for your gut microbiota there, which is always really good. And you're likely getting a similar thing with the crude polysaccharides in a crude non-extract cystange tubulosa. So that's part of the reason it's in there. Another reason is there are, and now we have to get into extraction a little bit, and this will show you exactly how we really developed cystange. And I'll give you a little sneak peek about our tangadeli.
Okay, so tell me about the first cystange extract that we came out with and how this one is being created.
So that one's a very traditional extract. We call it a water ethanol extract. And one thing to preface this conversation here is that we're quite limited in the types of solvents that we can use. So for example, a really good solvent is hexane. And we actually use a lot of hexane in the lab, and we use a lot of hexane in our exploratory projects with lion's mane, because it's a really, really excellent solvent. It's going to pull basically anything out that we want to get out in a lot of these plant extracts, but it's very toxic, it's carcinogenic, and it's really hard to get out of finished extracts.
So not something you want to be consuming.
Not something we want to be consuming. Then you have things like methanol. They can be used theoretically, but we don't really want to mess around with methanol, so we don't use methanol. So when you whittle it all down, you're left with a very small amount of solvents that you can use. Ethyl acetate is potentially one of them that we could still use. But then the main ones are going to be water at different temperature ranges, which is going to change how it extracts. And we have, and we can also add certain things to it, like more energy in the form of ultrasonic frequencies, which make the water vibrate and make the cell walls vibrate and can more easily get things out. Or you could do it in like a pressure cooker and go beyond the boiling point of water. So there's a lot of ways in which you can use temperature to influence how a solvent works. So water is obviously, it's safe, it's abundant. A lot of compounds are soluble in water. And then you have ethanol. Ethanol is generally safe too. You know, we drink a lot of it as a society, which isn't always good. But generally, ethanol, especially in low amounts, is not going to be so bad. So it's a generally recognized as safe solvent. And it's one of the most common solvents that's used. It's also really easy to get out of the final extract. So then we're left with basically the last one. And that's supercritical CO2, which is a really excellent solvent because it's just CO2. So it's one of the greenest solvents. If you use it and you want to remove it from your extract, you just open it up to the environment and that supercritical fluid just turns into a gas. And there's no further cleanup to do. It's just CO2. If you're getting some CO2 in you, big deal. I mean, we're consuming CO2 all day long. So that's a really good solvent. But now you have to match up solvents with different compounds. And for example, supercritical CO2 is mostly considered to be a non-polar solvent, whereas water is considered to be a polar solvent, and ethanol is also a polar solvent.
So depending on the specific compound that you're trying to extract, you have to consider its polarity before you choose the solvent.
Correct. That's one of the things. Also, is it acidic? Is it alkaline? Does it have hydrogens in it that can bind to the solvent? Choosing the right solvent is actually really complicated. and further complicated within our industry because we're basically limited to a couple of different solvents, and we can't use all different types of solvents. And there are a few things like D-limonene, which could be a good solvent, but it's really expensive, so you're probably not going to be using that at a large scale.
It also gives effects as well, which and you wouldn't necessarily want.
Well, but you would want to remove it, right? But yeah. It pretty much is going to make everything smell like orange, which is both good and bad, potentially. But you could use that. But really what we're trying to do is select different types of solvents that have different types of polarity that can then pull out different types of polarity compounds. So, for example, if you want to extract a polar compound, then you want to use a polar solvent. If you want to extract a nonpolar compound, then you want to use a nonpolar solvent. And, for example, for uricomenon, which is very water-soluble and is very polar, it is not getting pulled out in basically any amounts with supercritical CO2. So supercritical CO2, nonpolar, uricomenone, polar. So when we were thinking, okay, we're going to do a supercritical CO2 extract of tungstate in our optimized tungstate stack because that would be cool. There might be some volatiles in there that we can capture. So we had one of our manufacturers do a test batch. We tested it. There was basically no uricomenone in it. And some of those peaks that we should have been seeing just weren't there because those compounds are polar and we used a nonpolar solvent. Duh.
Makes sense.
When it comes to Sustange, supercritical CO2, it's not that simple. I'm actually still learning a lot about how supercritical CO2 extraction works, because you can also alter the pressure, the temperature, that makes a difference. You can put different solvents inside of it. So, for example, ethanol and water can also be supercritical. Maybe I should quickly explain what supercritical is.
That's good. Yes, I think everybody would really enjoy it. Also, if you've been taking the myrrh extract or holy basil or my personal favorite, coriander, this is being extracted with supercritical CO2.
Yes, those are all supercritical CO2 extracts, and there are some real benefits to it. So what happens is you take CO2, which is normally a gas, or a solid. I'm sure a lot of us have played around with dry ice at some point in our lives. And if you take dry ice and it melts, it doesn't melt into liquid CO2.
It melts into a gas. Yeah. That's why you use it around Halloween.
Exactly. And it doesn't melt, it sublimates into CO2. So you can also, if you hit the right critical pressure and temperature, then you can actually hit this... I guess like a phase transition. It goes briefly into a liquid, and that's called a supercritical liquid. So the interesting thing about it is that liquid will act as both a gas and a liquid. So it has all of the beneficial properties that a gas would have in extraction, and it has all of the benefits that a liquid would have in extraction. And it's not exactly nonpolar or polar. It seems to be quadrupolar, which I actually have no idea what that means. And you can modulate how all of that works. And it also seems that when you let the gas off and your extract basically dries, it might also be micronizing it during that process. So there's a lot of potential benefits with supercritical CO2, especially in a plant extract or in a plant that we know has a very large spread of both polar and nonpolar compounds. So when we're doing that, we want to actually use a variety of different solvents or no solvents at all, because at the end of the day, there's always going to be compounds that are not going to be picked up by a polar or a nonpolar solvent, unless we had the flexibility to work with way different types of solvents, and then we could make a solvent mixture with some acetonitrile in there, some DMSO, some hexane, some ethanol. Then you could make a mixture that would be really good at extracting, but again, if you're not easily able to get them out of your extract, and if they're toxic compounds, then you don't want to use those. So we're basically stuck with water, ethanol, supercritical CO2, but we can do some really interesting things with that, which is evidenced in Systemax, because we're able to pull out echinacea and acetacide clearly with water, ethanol, and supercritical CO2, which is interesting because it means those compounds are a little bit promiscuous for the solvent that they want to interact with. And it means, because there is such a large spread, if we're just doing ethanol, we're just doing water, or we're just doing supercritical CO2, we're always going to lose out on compounds.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that a little bit here, because now we can pull up the chromatogram of the supercritical CO2.
Yes.
And the really interesting thing here is that you actually see a little bit more acetoside. So acetoside can more easily be extracted by supercritical CO2, which is interesting. And we believe that some of this ghrelin hunger-enhancing effect is actually coming from the supercritical CO2 extract. And you're going to be able to figure that out very soon for yourself, because in the next couple weeks, couple months, we might be releasing that supercritical CO2 substantial extract as a standalone, which I'm quite stoked about.
Very interesting to compare.
All right. Well, our camera briefly overheated. It's a little bit warm in our recording studio at the moment. But that gave me a moment to kind of walk around while the camera was cooling down. And I am experiencing a very large amount of energy now. And this is something I was always confused about, because I heard a lot of people talking about just how stimulating Systange could be, and that it even made it hard to sleep. And I never really understood this, because for me, the effects are always a little bit neutral, like maybe a little bit uplifting and a little bit calming, but it was never really stimulating. But I'm having a hard time sitting still right now. And when I was walking around, I walked down the stairs and I was saying to Erica, I feel like I could lift a house right now. And I'm starting to get a bit of hunger building now too. So something is definitely active now. My mood is definitely elevated, but above all, I do feel like almost a little bit speedy. Like it feels almost a little bit like Tribugen. Like this is more what I would have expected Tribugen to feel like at that higher dose. So that's interesting. If you've never experienced stimulation with Systange, maybe try taking a higher dose. I'm curious what it will do the rest of the day, but this definitely has a strong effect, which of course you would really expect me to be feeling something here, because this is one of our most expensive supplements and very high doses of Systange and some other things, because it contains 2.5 milligrams of pregnenolone and 2.5 milligrams of DHEA per capsule. So that does mean I took a total of 10 milligrams pregnenolone and 10 milligrams DHEA, which is also on the higher end. So there's definitely some effects coming from there. And I've tried higher doses of Shilajit in the past. So it's 150 milligrams per capsule, so 600 milligrams total for this 4-capsule dose. Which I've tried 500 milligram doses of Shilajit, and they were never really this stimulating. So I do think it is a total package here, where the Shilajit and the different Systange extracts are really working together to create that interesting stimulating effect, and definitely a hunger increasing effect. For the first, I think we've been recording for about an hour-ish now. For the first hour, I thought, ooh, this is funny, I'm not getting the hunger effects now. I would have expected to get them really strongly, but we have two very nice juicy steaks in the fridge, and those are sounding very appetizing right now.
That sounds really good.
Even though before we started this podcast, I really wasn't hungry at all, and usually I'm so focused when we're doing these podcasts that it takes like many hours after we finish the podcast where I feel like ready to eat, because I'm just so focused, and when I'm that focused, my appetite kind of goes away. But it's a distracting amount of appetite increase right now, which is interesting because it means it's hitting some part of my gastrointestinal system. It's acting on the ghrelin receptors there, and it's definitely increasing my overall hunger. But that's maybe also where a little bit of that stimulation is even coming from, and where maybe later in the day we'll see on my watch if my sleep quality is really good again, because ghrelin and growth hormone both have a positive effect on sleep. So if this is really a strong growth hormone mediated effect, then that could be interesting. One thing that I will say, I have tried some things in the past that really strongly enhance growth hormone levels. And from those, I get a bit of like a flushing type of feeling, like you took a bit too much niacin, or you just got out of a sauna, like that kind of open blood vessels type of feeling. I'm not getting that a whole lot right now, but I do feel an overall lightness. I do feel like maybe my overall blood flow is perhaps a bit better. I'm not sure. But I do feel some distinct growth hormone type of effects going on right now, especially with the hunger. And the stimulation is not totally normal with some of the growth hormone stuff. Although, if I'm thinking back to it, this is many years and was with some peptides that you guys might be familiar with when I broke my wrist, trying to rebuild some strength. I guess those were a little bit stimulating too. You never tried them.
No, I didn't try them myself.
But yeah, definitely some interesting things to reflect on with the effects here, especially walking around a little bit and seeing what's going on. And this is always interesting for me and for Paul too, and everyone on our team. Sometimes some of you will try a high dose and see some new effects. Sometimes we will try a high dose and see some new effects. Or it's actually not that interesting to try a high dose.
Mm-hmm.
With Systemax, I do have to say there does seem to be an interesting dose response curve, and now I kind of understand why there are some people who would like to take really high doses multiple times a day of our normal Systanch. If it makes you feel like this and you're a big bodybuilder and getting ready for a show, yeah, I can imagine you want to feel like this all day long. So this is nice. I could go out for a run right now.
I'm feeling some nice stimulation from the double dose.
Mm-hmm.
I think in general, it's not over the top. It doesn't feel like the stimulation that I get from like Sobroxy or even Tongkat Ali, for example. It's nice and balanced. I am feeling a bit hungry. I was feeling slightly hungry before we started the podcast recording, but now I'm feeling very hungry. So this is definitely something I'm noticing. And in general, I think it's mood boosting. I think it has a slight energizing effect for me, but at the 2-capsule dose, I'm not feeling an extreme shift from like my normal state.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this, actually. In fact, the 2-capsule dose would probably be something that I reach for because it is perceptible. I do feel that slight lift, but it's not putting me in a position where I feel like I've taken too much or where I'm getting like overstimulated or kind of tunnel vision, which can happen sometimes for me with these energizing stimulating supplements. So I really like the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I compare it to the mega dose of Tribugen, this is more stimulating. This is more stimulating than taking that crazy mega dose of Tribugen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was curious to try with a slightly lower, but still a double dose of the Systemax. Would this have a significant uplifting effect even at that kind of more normal dosage compared to what I did with Tribugen, which was to mega dose it, expecting to have big results, and then actually experienced the opposite of what I was expecting?
Yeah, that was a bit strange with Tribugen, but also interesting because I did get some effects out of Tribugen
mm-hmm.
that time that I haven't gotten elsewhere.
Exactly.
Like a very unique, almost sedating type of effect, but
yeah,
very unique. I've never felt anything like it. And here too, I've not felt much like this effect. Like
mm-hmm.
you're saying, it's not tunnel vision-y, not at all. It's not like Sobroxy. It's not like I'm just go, go, go and
mm-hmm.
laser focused. I'm actually almost a little bit more scatterbrained.
Yeah.
Like this would be something I would want to take if we go to like an outdoor festival and we have to walk around all day and dance all day long, like out in the sun. This seems like a nice way to boost your mood, to boost your physical energy. Like, it's not as much mentally energizing as it is perhaps physically energizing.
I was just going to say that, if anything, the effect that I'm getting or that I'm picking up on the most is that I want to go for a walk outside. I want to go do something outside. I want to kind of let out this physical energy, which
mm-hmm.
I think would be a really good choice. The Systemax would be a nice one to reach for before a workout or just at any point in the day if you need a little bit of an energy boost. This would be awesome if you're going for like a bike ride or a run or something like that. But these effects are really starting to come on about an hour after we take the
mm-hmm.
dose. So if you're looking for something to kick in super quickly, like having that energizing kind of uplifting feeling, the Mushroom Magic Matcha, the Mushroom Magic drinks are honestly really, really fast acting. And I think that's because they come in a drink form and those mushrooms are just getting put into your system and having those energizing effects really quickly. This one is not so like intense in the onset, but I do have the feeling that the effect is a bit more powerful overall, and it's giving me like not this stimulated energy, but really this like movement energy from within.
Would you say it's motivating then?
It is motivating, yeah. For sure. It's more than just energy, it's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And that motivation is helpful for focus. I think the motivation is helpful for getting started on something. But if I were going to take it as like a motivation booster, I would want to give myself a good hour or hour and 15 minutes before getting started on that task, because I wasn't feeling this initially. If anything, I was feeling those kind of calming effects first, and now the motivation is starting to pick up.
Yeah, it's similar for me. It's definitely an interesting way in which it ramps up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, now that I'm thinking back to the last 2 weeks of us not taking System X, I have been feeling a little bit tired over the last 2 weeks. And now that I'm feeling this is a little bit more of... I'm not feeling this energized all day long, but this lightness, like a lightness in my movements, in my steps.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last 2 weeks, I felt a little bit more bogged down. Like it feels a bit harder to get moving. Once I'm moving, it's fine. Like I'm a fit individual. Like there's no issues there, but getting started is a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
With Sustange, I feel like I'm always ready to go.
Yeah.
And we had this recently when we went on a bike ride.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the bike ride, you were really struggling.
Yeah.
And that's not
this
normal.
This is a slow day for me. Yeah.
But we weren't taking Systanch, the Systemax at that point. Normally, we get on our bikes and we're just immediately at top speed going to where we want to. But it felt a little bit harder to get going over the last 2 weeks. I definitely was having a harder time recovering from physical exercise. We did a lot of walking around on King's Day in the Netherlands a couple of days ago. And I'm feeling a bit of soreness throughout my back, something I probably wouldn't have noticed if we were taking System X. So it's interesting sometimes to actually back off your supplements for a while, not necessarily in terms of cycling, but more in terms of knowing what something is really doing for you. If you're ever like, I don't really know what this thing in my stack is doing, then leave it out for 2 weeks. And then put it back in and see if you notice a difference right when you take the supplement out, in a couple of days, in a week, in 2 weeks, and then what happens when you reintroduce it. And then you can really have a good idea of what something is doing within your daily stack. This is a nice inadvertent way of doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I'm slacking a little bit with reordering a supplement because I kind of want to put myself in a situation where I'm not taking something for 2 weeks. But it's nice to kind of wash out, see what it does when you reintroduce it. And I think for us, maybe Systanche is actually a little bit stimulating or energizing, and I normally haven't picked up on it because at a single capsule dose, it's not that pronounced and in your face. Now it's really pronounced and in my face, so I know exactly what it's doing. And this is actually exactly what Joe Cohen was describing when he went on our podcast. Sometimes he'll take something for months or years and not really have a very clear idea of what it's doing, so then he megadoses it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's maybe another way of doing what I just described, instead of taking a 2 week break and then seeing what happens when it's not there and when it's reintroduced. You could also, at one day, like let's say you're taking a single capsule dose of Systemax, then one day just take 4 capsules. And maybe have that be your only supplement, or maybe just add the 4 capsules on top of your existing stack and see how much more intense the effects are and where that takes you. And that's something that Joe Cohen does, to see what a supplement is really doing for him. And this is actually, honestly, maybe the first time that I'm actually having that experience too, because normally, like with Tribugen, sometimes it's just unpredictable. With Tiger Milk, it was interesting, but here I'm definitely, it's scaling very linearly. There's no weird additional effects going on. It's just whatever was there is now way stronger. So it's good for me to now really analyze, okay, I guess it has been energizing. That's one of the things that's been giving us energy throughout the day.
Yeah.
Together with rhodiola, that is an important one. We were saying earlier that it's not necessarily full-on super stimulating for either of us. Like, for some people, I hear experiences with Solidrisol, like they took the Limitless drug.
Oh, wow.
But then like one or two times and then that effect goes away too. Mm-hmm. So there is something strange with Solidricide, that type of effects range. And here it's kind of similar. I think if we were, maybe we should do a megadosing rhodiola rosea at some point. Because I feel like I would get...
I thought you were going to say a megadosing rodeo, but yes.
Yeah. If you guys want to join us.
Just join our megadosing rodeo. A megadosing rhodiola rosea. Yeah, yes. I would be curious to try that for sure.
Because mine have a similar thing where... Mm-hmm. It's definitely energizing. It was out of our stack for a while too. Yeah. Now we added it back in. And definitely my overall energy levels are a bit more up.
Yeah.
Not as much though as with the Solidricide extract that we've been taking. We decided to do the Rosevin for a while and it is less stimulating, but it does seem to have some other interesting mood boosting properties. But
there's something you mentioned when you were talking about the motivational benefits mm-hmm. of Sustanch and Systemax, and you were talking about recovery. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, do you think that Systemax is going to have benefits for recovery, or is
Absolutely.
It more before the workout?
No. Definitely. The main point of taking Systanch and Systemax is that you're taking it daily, and you're optimizing the steroidogenesis process. You're optimizing the overall testosterone output and growth hormone output, and then that's going to have a cumulative anabolic effect. And having more testosterone and growth hormone around is going to help you recover a little bit better. So again, that's something you have to feel out for yourself too, but when I'm taking Systange 1, I definitely feel stronger. And this is something you've mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not necessarily working out more than I have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been taking Systemax for 2 or 3 months now, and I'm definitely looking stronger and leaner.
Yeah.
And I didn't really notice it for myself, but you started mentioning it. And then I was like, yeah, I do feel stronger. I do feel leaner. But I haven't felt as strong and as recovered and as motivated to get moving recently.
In the past two weeks. Wow, this is interesting. I've also been feeling a little bit more sluggish, and I was thinking perhaps it's because we've been having lots of rainy weather, and it's almost May, and at this point in the year, we're all just ready for sun, and I was thinking, okay, perhaps it's just the weather, it's the fact that it's still cold, I'm just not really feeling that, like, boost of summer, but my energy has been definitely a bit lower in the last 2 weeks, and I'm curious to see if that changes over the next 2 weeks. Perhaps this is coming from the Systemax. This could also be coming from some of the other elements of our stack that we've changed. But this effect that I'm having right now from the double dose, this is a really nice energy boost. And this is something that if I could experience this kind of uplift on a daily basis, this would definitely help me get through those like afternoon slumps for sure.
Yes. And one thing I'm quite curious about now is I think in general, taking this high of a dose consistently is maybe going to get a bit too expensive for most of us. And maybe there's a better, more budget-friendly way of going about it. So something I'm going to try in the next couple of weeks is actually taking our normal Systemax dose, but then adding one or two capsules of the non-extracted Systanch on top. If there is anything to that study where they mentioned having a Systanch extract present with echinacoside and acetoside enhancing absorption, then potentially putting in more and more non-extracted Systanch would have an increased absorption effect. So I'm curious how much non-extracted Systanch together with Systemax it would take to get to a somewhat similar effects level. Obviously, it's not going to be the same because I wouldn't be increasing the pregnenolone, the DHEA, and the Shilajit as much as we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting then as much of the supercritical CO2 extract, which might have some interesting effects. But we would be getting a little bit more echinacoside and acetoside and more of those other compounds that could have potentially a bit of a stimulating effect. And I do have to say, yesterday, when we tried 4 capsules of the non-extracted Systanch, I did feel a little bit of that energy effect too. And I do think I ended up mentioning that to you, that there was like a unique kind of almost buzzing little effect. Really subtle. that effect is now really strong, but it could be coming a little bit from that non-extracted sustange too. So I'm curious to see. Or even just taking multiple doses of the non-extracted sustange throughout the day. Like two capsules in the morning, two capsules in the afternoon, two capsules at night. Maybe that's another good way of going about it. And then keeping the overall bioactive levels a lot lower. The cost overall a lot lower. That's one of the reasons we also did the non-extracted sustange, because some people just like to take multiple gram amounts of non-extracted sustange throughout the day, and that's how they get the best effects. So, of course, play around with it. I will still be sticking to Systemax. I'm obviously biased here because I had a strong hand in developing the formula, but it's been my favorite overall experience with Systange so far.
It's also really convenient that you get pregnenolone, DHA, and Shilajit in the stack. And these are things that we've taken just as standalone products, pregnenolone and DHEA specifically. And now it just makes your life a little bit easier, and you don't have to order so many separate bottles. And you also have this stack, which is formulated to have all of these different elements in balance with each other. And I think this is also something which is good, especially if you're reaching for Systemax for its hormonal benefits, or, you know, because you're looking to put on a little bit more muscle. I find that sometimes with these hormonal products that it can be a little bit difficult to figure out what is the proper dosage of each, and is it going to have a beneficial effect for your energy and for your motivation. And in this case, that motivation, you can really feel that when you take Systemax, and the formula was created to be complementary to each other. So I think this can also take away some of that guesswork as well, which could be really useful if you're getting started with supplements, or if you want to just simplify your daily stack by actually taking a stack product like the Systemax.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. And I think there's been a huge shift, definitely in you, in your energy level from the beginning of the podcast to the end.
Yeah, I'm curious for myself to just watch it back, because I'm sure I can see behavioral changes in myself as I go along. And I'm curious what this is going to do the rest of the day, but I definitely basically have to go run and get something to eat at this point.
I'm really hungry too, and I think that's going to be our very first step once we turn the record button off. But before we go, we wanted to just say thanks again for watching the In Search of Insight podcast, and thanks so much for just your continued support and all your questions and your feedback. We really appreciate all of it, and we are really interested to read what you think about the podcast, what your experience has been like with all of the products that we talk about, and the experiments that you're doing just at home, and the research that you're doing to learn more about these products all the time, because we learn so much from you, especially from Reddit. So if you aren't following us, if you aren't subscribed to our community on Reddit, that's r/NootropicsDepot, definitely go check us out there and join us and ask questions and get some more info about the supplements that you're already taking. And then you can also follow us on other social media channels if you want to learn more and get notifications about the new podcast episodes. You can also check us out on Instagram. It's at In Search of Insight. And if you want to go back to any point in the podcast to re-listen or to check out those sick graphs that we were showing you, you can check them out by looking at the chapters, which is going to be in the description of every single streaming platform, as well as on YouTube. So there's lots and lots more to learn, and we're really happy to bring you new information and new supplements all the time. This particular one, I think, is going to be fun to experiment with in the next coming weeks, because we've been missing it a lot, and we're really glad to have it back in our stack. And we hope that you have some beneficial experiences from it as well. So that's the Systemax podcast for the month. And next month, we're coming to you with something totally different and new. And we'll say goodbye for today. Bye.
See ya.